Thank you very much for downloading this featured content podcast. This is a very special What's On this week because if you've been following the social media and the local press and some of the output from Solihull Radio, you will see that in a couple of days' time, we are going to be at Solihull Summerfest over in Tudor Grange Park. Now, today's What's On podcast is a little bit different in as much as Claire and I are going to be interviewing the fantastic Mr. Ian Rogers, who is basically heading up the team that organise and sort out and put on this event each year. So, Ian, thank you very much for coming in. Claire, would you like to say hello as well?
Welcome to the studio, Ian. It's a pleasure to have you on as our first, well, one of our first guests.
Exactly. very important couple of weeks or a few days left now in the organisation of the Summerfest. Now, I've asked you this question once before. At the end of last year's Summerfest, you and I had a cup of coffee and you said, I think that might be it. And
he said never again to me. I think never again
I was trying to put it a slightly different way. Yeah, okay. But and you said, I think that might be it. And, you know, what's now brought you back into doing Summerfest 2019? How, you know, what gave you the motivation to start with?
Good question. Good, tough questions, aren't they?
In like the deep end.
Okay, yeah, no, great question. Well, first of all, it's something that I'm really, really passionate about. I wouldn't have started the idea. I wouldn't have come up with a concept or believed in it. So the main thing, it was a tough year last year. There was a lot taking place. We got hit a little bit by the weather. But one of the things that came is someone approached me, and potential business partner who came to me and sort of said, let's keep it going. And they wanted to get involved. They had a lot of experience that they brought to the table and kind of managed to get me thinking back about why I started it all in the first place and re-sort of flamed that passion for it all.
Yeah.
So the whole thing was actually your idea?
Probably 7 years ago I had the idea and I managed to convince a friend, John Lake, asked him to come along with me. We went to the council and we said, we've got this idea. We want to put a festival on in the park. I don't think they were massive fans of it. I think they just thought two guys had gone out, had a drink, decided they wanted
all
to...
the best ideas start that way.
Yeah, of course.
That's it.
Put a festival on. And then they kind of hit us with, like, you've got to do this, you've got to do the event manual. There's lots of stuff, lots of processes. We went away. And I don't think they probably ever expected us to come back, but we did. And we created an event manual with the help of Sarah Elliott. And we basically put it all together, went back, and they were really impressed. In fact, it's been said that it's our event manual is one that's used as an example to other events and other festivals, not just in this area, but in other regions. So we went for it, yeah, myself and John, and we took Sarah on as our festival manager. We did that for 2 years, and then John stepped aside, and then I decided to carry it on last year on my own, and then and this year we've got a big partnership together.
And so it's getting bigger and better every single year, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, in terms of numbers, in terms of the products that we're putting out for people, and in terms of hopefully the lineup for lots of people as well.
I was going to say, go back to that first year that you ran the festival.
Yeah.
Who did you have on your lineup?
Okay, so UB40, they were
local.
They were the headliner on the Saturday night. Scouting for Girls were the headliner on the Sunday. Other acts were 5S Club, Heather Small.
You had some big names.
They were quite big. There were people I'd worked with before. It's kind
of, because you are a name yourself in the industry, aren't you? Everyone knows you, Ian. You're very well known in the music world. So you've got contacts, so you could reach
out to those
people.
A couple of phone calls. We could have a show in here.
Let's do it. I'm on it.
So I think that was possibly one of the most difficult things when you're booking an artist or you're talking to someone, say, we want you to appear at this event. One of the first questions they'll ask, or the management ask, who's played there before?
Right.
They're trying to protect their own brand, their own identity. So in your first year, when you say, who's played there before? And you say, well, nobody, it's just a park. that was quite difficult. So that did need having to kind of convince a lot of people to come along and to do it. And equally, I think for the general public, when we said we've got UB40 and M people playing in the park, that's never happened before. So for people to kind of give us their money and believe that that was going to happen was obviously...
Yeah, absolutely. Well done. So tell us, who's playing this year? Who can we get excited about?
So cool. Yeah, this year on the Saturday, we've got Level 42
amazing
headlining, and that's created a lot of great reaction. Mm. That's really worked really well. We're trying to keep some of the younger crowd happy as well. So we've got the Vamps, They'll be on just before level 42. Heather Small, we're bringing her back from year one because she was so good of M People. Sugar Hill Gang, they're another act that we decided to bring back because they played last year on the Sunday, quite early on.
I remember them. I was there last year and they were incredible. Mm. I only know their one song, but that song is just legendary,
isn't it?
Me too,
I'm afraid.
You'd know at least two.
Okay.
Apache, but we won't sing it.
No.
Rapper's Delight.
Rapper's Delight, that's my one.
But equally, what we do is Sugar Hill Gang, I get them to bring Grandmaster Flash.
And
so they'll do The Message and White Lines and things like that as well. So they'll probably do about four or five different numbers that you'll be fully aware of there. Miss Dynamite's coming along. Imagination. Trevor Nelson.
Great.
From Rival Radio 2.
Yeah, we won't keep that low. That
okay, leave it. And Blonde doing a DJ set and then supported by JK as Robbie and also one of the acts that we represent, Mitchell Brunins, who was the lead of the One Love Bob Marley musical and also the sellout show Marley reprised.
And so he's a bit good, Claire.
Oh, is he? Yeah.
He is a bit good.
I'm really excited. I'm coming both days. I can't wait. But the Sunday is more 80s kind of style. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, the idea behind that was over the last 3 years, we've managed to work out the demographic of our audience. When people are buying tickets, we managed to get the data so we can see the age range of people coming. And predominantly, the ages of the people coming to the festival are between 30 and 60. So we said, let's just give them what they want.
Absolutely.
And let's give them an 80s day. So we managed
I cannot wait on the Sunday. And the Proclaimers, do you know, I once had to go up to Scotland for a weekend and the people who were driving played that song. All the way.
On repeat?
Yeah.
That's a long drive.
For like
that
9 hours. So that song is a bittersweet memory for me.
It's about 500 miles, isn't it?
Oh my goodness. It was about 9 hours in that car listening to that song. But Go West as well. That's another blast from my childhood.
I'm still impressed with his joke. I mean, there's not many that actually make me laugh that Jeff comes out with, but that was smooth.
Thank you very much.
I missed it. Just got it.
Took me ages to think of that.
So, 80s
Day Sunday.
Yeah, 80s Day.
I've had a look at the map on the wall downstairs in your shop.
Yeah.
Down here on the high street, which is, of course, the outlet to come and speak to you guys and speak to your team and buy the tickets and things like that. Now, there's a couple of different places on the map. One is called, for instance, the Secret Stage.
Yes.
So, and is this the second or first time that you've had a stage away from the main stage?
First time.
Oh, right. So tell us about that.
Yeah. So what we decided to do is we're trying to sort of make the site feel different when people come in this year, expand it, make it bigger, allow for the growth of the festival over the next few years. So we've created a second stage in an area where we've not opened up before. So hence why we've called it the Secret Stage. But I'm sure people will work out where it is.
I was going to say,
It's not hidden.
It's not necessarily hidden that much, but it's just not in the main arena where the main stage is. So, and that stage, we've managed to get the support of Head Candy, which it's their 20th anniversary year. They've got a lot of kudos, a lot of credibility. They'll probably, I would imagine, a lot of the music on there, if people haven't come across the Head Candy brand before, it's very kind of much club classics from the 90s and some really big, strong sort of vocal, funky house tunes from the early 2000s. And it's all about production on that stage. So there's DJs, there's vocalists, there's dancers, there's percussion, there's sax. So
But Head Candy have done that. You haven't had to put that together.
No.
But your job has been putting together all the other bands, the other lineups.
Yes,
yeah. How do you do that, Ian? How do you persuade them to come and...
Money works well.
Yeah. Do you pick people that you personally love or...?
Yes and no. It's kind of just trying to think of the artists that I think will appeal to the crowd that I've seen arriving over the last few years. Artists that I think will bring a bit of credibility to the festival and also to the town. Looking down, I'm quite a flexible music taste, so I like most music. But I tend to try and focus it more on what I think the crowd would want. And equally looking at the sort of artists that maybe are selling well in their own accord. I'd be looking for artists that are doing arena gigs or town hall, symphony hall gigs, kind of, rather than someone that's doing private bookings or something like that now. Sure. So it's trying to find artists that have still got a demand and got their own following, because we're trying to encourage people into the town to see how good Solihull is, as well as not just come to the festival.
And talking of demands, who is demanding? Who gives you these riders? We've heard about these. Riders are things, a list, basically, that the artists give you, and you have to supply all
the... You have to deliver it, yeah. Although I've referred to them this year as a wish list.
So
I think it's... So I think sometimes it's worth going back if you think it's unreasonable.
So they say to you, Ian, we'll come and play as long as you give us all this money and our wish list.
Yeah, we want this. This is our technical rider. This is what we expect on stage. And this is our hospitality rider, what we expect back of stage. And some are quite interesting. And as I think someone just makes them up in an office. I'm sure it's, I think
we've all heard of Mariah Carey wanting kittens and blue M&Ms and things like that, haven't we? But so what are some of the real things that you've had?
Yeah, I mean, it's contrary to people wanting their rooms filled with certain colour flowers or things like that, or literally a certain colour M&M. But one of the ones this year that did make me smile, I won't say who the artist is, but they've asked for a framed picture of Barry Chuckle in their dressing room, which I kind of thought was just kind of amusing. Yeah, I thought, or Les Dennis, that was the other
Les
guy.
Les Dennis, Le Denis, the French
fire engine.
Yeah, boom. That's a good one. I'm having that one.
What are we going to put on our riders, Jeff?
I think I would, well, I'd like a helicopter in. Have you got a space in the park for the helicopter in?
Yeah, we can put a helipad somewhere. Yeah. We can always get you. There's a helipad at Nuthurst Grange. We can land you there and get a driver to bring you in.
Bring us in.
Our money's no object for you, Jeff.
Let's start with phase two of our interview. If you've just joined us or you're listening on the podcast, we are interviewing for our What's On this week, Mr. Ian Rogers. He is heading up the team for Solihull Summerfest that's coming up a little bit earlier this year, Ian, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a month earlier, actually. So lots of reasons for that. One of the reasons was, actually, it's a really competitive weekend, the August Bank Holiday. There was lots of other stuff going on. We were competing against Leeds Festival, Reading.
Reading, yeah, I remember.
Notting Hill Carnival, Leeds Carnival, closer to home, Camper Calling, Big Festival. Henley and Arden have their own music festival as well there. There was probably, it was SW4, I'd imagine there was probably about 10 different local or national big events that we were competing against. And equally, it was a weekend when a lot of people went away because it's the last chance before school holidays. And I believe often one of the kind of more affordable weekends to go away. So, and we got hit by weather a bit last year.
Yeah, it did. I remember.
So it was, let's, notoriously, the weather's better on the weekend that we've chosen in July. So let's bring it forward. And that seems to have worked. Tickets are up year on year at the moment. And we've kind of got people that are coming in to see us in the shop. A lot of people are the ones that have never been before and haven't been able to come because it used to be on the August Bank Holiday weekend.
What's the maximum capacity that we can fit in the park for
the event? So this year we've got a maximum capacity of just under 10,000 in the park. So, and the plans that we've made where we've kind of re-changed the site and opened it up more would allow for more than that. But obviously, we're not at that stage just yet. But it gives us the option when we move forward of being able to say we can go and book a bigger artist because we've got the capacity on the site to do that.
And people don't need to buy the whole weekend, do they? They can buy just the Saturday or just the Sunday or...
Yeah, just the Saturday or just the Sunday. There is no camping, unfortunately. That we do get asked that a lot, and that would be great. A lot of our audience do come from Solihull, but I think I've shown you before some of the mapped ticket map where people buy, and it's from all over the UK. So camping would be good, but it definitely does the hotels good. The hotels are looking really busy. Particularly on Saturday night in the town. I think some of the capacity is pretty much gone there. So
oh, that's good.
And I love festivals, and they all seem to have their own different rules and regulations and things.
So it's there's no food or alcohol allowed in. In terms of food, we do have a lot of food vendors on site.
I remember last year there was everything.
Yeah, there's loads. A great choice. I think there's over 20 this year. So there's coffee and cake, burgers, halloumi fries, paella, pizza, pasta, mac and cheese, gourmet cheese, toasties.
Oh, you're making me hungry.
Stop now.
Stop now. So there literally is something for everyone, including the vegan stands and stuff like that as well. So we are trying to cater to different people's different requirements. You can take in sealed bottled water.
Okay.
And that's about it, really, in terms of what you can take in. There's no alcohol, because our alcoholic license for on the site is for us to sell the alcohol rather than people bring the alcohol in. And then obviously it can be sort of monitored.
Well, you've got a bit more control then, haven't you?
Yeah, exactly. We need to monitor that. And we also need to operate things like Challenge 25 in people, to make sure that they're the right age to be drinking alcohol. So one of the things we have been asked about quite a lot is the kind of sustainability and the recycling. So it's not possible to do it for this year, but we are now sort of already starting to look at 2020 to say, how can we get to the stage where we can sort of say no to plastic? So, I mean, one of the reasons obviously for sealed water bottles is it means that people can't open them and just put vodka in there.
Because there's no water supply, there's water fountain.
Yeah, there's no water supply on the
cycling track. And it can't be other stuff other than water, can it?
No, so, if people was to bring in those, the kind of the environmentally friendly refillable bottles, is that we'd just be filling them at the moment from plastics, which would be defeating the object all around. So I think the plan moving forward is that we found a supplier of biodegradable serving containers, which is fine for getting all the alcohol and things sorted for next year. And then we're just in the process of working out costs of filling stations so that people could bring those in empty and they could fill them up.
Brilliant.
On the site. Right. So unfortunately there's not time to do it for this year, but it's something that we just is on.
You're on the case.
On the case.
What about furniture? I remember last year seeing people and they bought in like nice table chairs and deck chairs and everything.
You name it, the dining room table. So we do allow people to bring up their sort of folding chairs and furniture and their blankets. What we do is that has to be just past a certain point on the site to sort of ensure that it doesn't form a hazard, doesn't form a trip hazard. Because naturally when an artist that you're looking forward to seeing is coming on stage, people's natural progression is to move forward. So we just need to make sure at the front that there isn't any furniture that would cause a hazard. What we're doing is not allowing any fold-up furniture within the VIP or the gold circle. Again, the gold circle is right front of stage, so it is a potential safety hazard. And in the VIP area, we've got furniture in there already. So there's rattan furniture, poser tables. So there's not really the room for people to be able to set up camp in there on their own. But so, yeah, if people have got VIP tickets, there's no furniture allowed in those areas.
And you just increased the VIP area, didn't you?
Yes, we have. Yeah, we went down to site yesterday. In effect, this Sunday had actually sold out on the VIP. So we went down to the site to see how we could make sure that the VIP area could host and contain the number of tickets that we've sold. And then we sort of did a few changes, added some extra marquees in the area, put a bigger bar in, a bigger garden area, ordered some more furniture. And then at the same time, we sort of noticed another little area over the other side of the park and thought, we're going to put another VIP tent over there. So we've actually put two VIP areas on there now. So people have a choice of two areas. They can bounce between the two. So we're kind of ready to be able to improve and have a real good VIP experience.
And that's all done by wristbands, isn't it? When you go through, you'll have a certain band.
So when people are... Everyone will get a fabric wristband on their way in once they exchange their ticket at the front gate. And if you're a VIP, you get the fabric wristband and a souvenir lanyard as well.
Okay, I got you.
I tell you who I'm excited about seeing. The girl and the guy who won the competition that we did a few weeks ago.
Oh, they were great.
I was a judge, Jeff.
Were you?
Yeah, Ian kindly asked me to come down and be a judge.
Very kind, Ian.
It was a talent competition at Touchwood.
Jeff's looking, hello, why didn't I get invited?
There were 25, well, it was actually 23 on the day, weren't there? Artists, mostly local people who came. And you'd already been through them, hadn't you? So chosen the best people to come and perform at Touchwood on the beach outside the Core Theatre. And it was a proper show, and it was raining a lot that day, but hundreds of people turned up, and I helped judge. I felt like I was on The Voice or something. It was amazing.
Brilliant.
But the girl who won, what was her
name? Molly
Hindle. Molly Hindle. She is incredible. All the judges just loved her. And she's going to be performing on the Sunday, isn't she?
Yes, she is, yeah. So we've got a few local artists on the Sunday, because I think one of the... it's very difficult in terms of stage time. In an ideal world, I'd love to be able to put a third stage on that just... sort of showcased some of the local artists. And I think I said it after the event where we normally go up and say a few words after we'd listened to all of the artists. And I was kind of taken aback by, it wasn't an easy decision. They were all really good. There was probably at least, I would say, 10 of those that I would have happily have put onto the stage
and
without
James
thinking
Reedy,
about it.
Is that his
James
name?
Reedy,
he
yeah.
was the runner-up, and he performed last year, didn't he?
Yeah, he performed last year, and so he came as a runner-up this year as well. And I kind of really respect that as well, that the guy's just pushing himself so hard that he's still just he's determined to get himself onto that Summerfest stage. But yes, we've got a few guys. We've got James Reedy's going to open up the stage at 11:45. Then Molly Hindle will be on just after him, probably about 12:10. We've got a local band, Killglass. They went to, I think it's St. Peter's School, I think that they went to. So they're performing
just
there.
Just across the way, isn't it? Yeah, from the park.
Yeah, so it'd be good to get those guys there. And then equally Liam Price, who's we've kind of championed from day one, and we've had him on stage every year and been trying to support and encourage him to push.
Is this the little boy who is on The Voice Kids?
You got it, yeah. He's now through to the semi-finals of The Voice Kids.
I keep seeing him in our paper, in the Observer. And so you've known him for a few years?
Yes, yeah. Well, okay. I mean, it was in year one, and a friend said, oh, you must listen to this young lad. He's really good. And so we managed to get him on onto stage, and then we've sort of invited him back every year since.
So how old is he? He's like 12?
12 now,
so
yeah.
So you had him on the first year you ran the festival when he was about 7?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And we've literally had him on.
You basically discovered him.
Yeah, you've literally put him on every year.
Is there a finder's fee?
Yeah.
It should be.
I hope so. Let's
see. It's becoming a big deal, isn't it? I think he's through to the final now.
He's through to the semi-finals now. So we'll see how he gets on there. If the actual final, the day of the actual final, is actually the Saturday of the Summerfest. So, I mean, how great if he wins that and he comes along to Summerfest on the Sunday.
Great work.
And I think he's going to try and bring a few friends from the show along. So I don't know what that entails, but I've said, let's
There's
going to
be a bus, a school bus arriving. That's it, yeah.
Teachers in high-vis jackets.
Wait to see what his ride is like.
Okay, bit of parking and housekeeping then, Ian. Where do we park? Presumably you've got facilities and lavatories all sorted out for the park.
Oh,
if you've
toilets. no, of course, yeah.
Yeah,
course.
If you've got 10,000 people there, they're not all going to be wandering into Central Solihull, are they?
No, that would be most inconvenient. So car parking-wise, that's really simple. We're dead opposite the Monk's Path Hall car park.
Brilliant.
It's got 1,500 spaces. So you literally park in there, you walk across the road, and then what we do as well at the end of the night, because people arrive throughout the day at different times.
Yeah, staggered.
Everyone leaves at the same time. Mm. So we close that part of the road for a couple of hours just to make it sure it's safe for people leaving that have been at the festival, and it's a bit darker so they can get safely back to their car park.
Brilliant.
There as well. In terms of toilets, it's something, when we started to look at doing a festival in Solihull, it's one of the ones that we thought we've got to make sure we deliver on any of the frustrations I've had when I've been to a festival, and it's people's nightmare the toilet situation is.
Yeah.
So we've kind of we go above and beyond. Yeah, we go above and beyond, and there's plenty of the portaloos in there. There's two attendants that are there all day cleaning them throughout the day, and we kind of often get very commended on what we do with the toilets. And then if you're in the VIP area, there's the what we call the posh toilets, which are actually trailer toilets. And again, so it's actually, as toilets go, it's a nice experience.
Oh, brilliant.
And, I mean, it's a massive cost. I mean, I think just in toilets alone, we spend over £15,000 on the site. So
I remember last year, who's the woman from Mystique who performed?
Alicia Dixon.
Alicia Dixon. And she lost her phone, and she went in one of the normal toilets and left her phone in the toilet. And I was backstage with you, and she was panicking, going, oh my God, I've got so many terrible photos, no one can see them. And then one of the guards came over, and somebody had handed her photo in. But she went in one of your normal toilets.
Well,
so
they
must be
very
good.
Down to earth.
I live across the road from the park, so if you want to do a deal, people can
use
come
yours,
over.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've got an idea. Right, if, like me, you don't live far from the park, recently I've received through the door a little card saying that I get a bit of a discount on the ticket price. How's all that going? Is that B91, B92?
Yeah, so, I mean, the idea of the resident discount, when we first put our application into Solihull Council, it was, we're aware that there will be an increased noise level over that weekend. We're also aware that we take over Tudor Grange Park cycling track for a week. So it was a way of sort of saying to local residents, we know that you'll be aware that we're around, so we want to kind of accommodate that and get you to kind of encourage you to come along and be a part of it, because we've put it in the town for the people to enjoy.
Mm.
So we basically offer a discounted price ticket. So that's been out recently. And that's been really well received, 15% discount off the full price tickets. We end that 2 weeks before, so obviously we just try and get people to encourage to commit to their sale, to say that they're going to come along. And then, yeah, so I think hopefully it's been very well received.
So tickets are available from you, but tickets-wise, we can almost sort of rock up on the day and get them on the door?
Yeah, you can, yeah. I mean, it's always easy if people have got their tickets in advance, and I would recommend that. If people do want to buy on the day, they can. I mean, things like, for example, if they come and buy from the ticket office, there is no booking fee. So that's one of the benefits of us being here on the high street. And I think with the shop as well, that's worked really well, because a lot of people come in to our festival aren't necessarily people that have been to festivals before. So they've got a lot of questions. They've got a lot of things that they want to ask, do's and don'ts.
Just in case anyone doesn't know where the shop is on the high street. Yeah. What number on the high street is it?
It's 150 High Street, which is the Old Baby Boutique. We are just underneath Solihull Radio, where we are right now.
That's right.
And
not far away.
Opposite Pantuli and the Mason's Arms, if that helps people. We try the far end of the high street.
That's
down
right.
By the church.
Yeah.
And looking at you, Ian, you look very relaxed, but you're working 17-hour days at the moment, aren't you?
I don't know. This is possibly the most relaxed I've been. I'm away from my computer.
That's right.
My phone's been buzzing a little bit while we've been here. But yeah, no, it's been nice to see you guys again, as well, hasn't
really
it?
Nice to see you.
Got the A-team back together.
That's
again.
It, yeah.
And can we have a bet? Last year, I remember seeing you at the festival, and you'd done something astronomically massive number of steps over the weekend. What was it? Can you remember?
I can't remember if it was about 50 to 60,000 just in the one day.
Let's
so.
Have a bet. How many steps is Ian going to do?
Are you still wearing your pedometer? There it is.
There it is. Yeah. I
think you're going to do 47,000 steps over
the
weekend.
I don't think I've got a good team this year. We've got some extra resourcing. So, I mean, in an ideal world, I could just be sitting in the VIP area, like making sure that the experience from that point of view is enjoyable. But yeah, it's probably going to be nearer 50.
Management. What are the dates, just in case people need the dates?
Dates are 27th and the 28th of July. Also, we haven't mentioned it, but actually on the 26th, on the Friday, we do the open air cinema.
Of course.
So
I remember
while
that from
I was just
last
thinking
year.
About that. So, yeah, so basically because we've set up the site and we spend so much money on kind of getting the site fenced in and getting all the infrastructure in, it just makes sense to maximise the use of the park whilst it's there. So,
and what are you doing?
Mamma Mia.
Oh, fantastic.
So the first Mamma Mia one. And then, so we're going to open the gates at 5:45. We'll show the film at 7:30. And then, because there's quite a few of these open-air cinema events, we wanted to make it a little bit different. And so once the film finishes, we're going to put the band on and get a live ABBA tribute band. ABBA Arrival, who've won Europe's best ABBA tribute band for 6 years running, will be there to sort of finish on a bit of a sing-song for everyone at the end.
Amazing. And will food be in there already, or do you have to bring your own food on the Friday night?
Yeah, no, so same principle again, no food or drink. Some of the reasons for that as well is if people, in terms of sort of security processes, if everyone brings in lots of stuff with them, we have to do quite a detailed search. And so it really delays other people getting into the site. So no food and drink, but there are all the food vendors on site. One of the things we've decided to do as well is for the people arriving early between 5:45 and 7 is we're doing a special deal on Prosecco. So it's just £15 a bottle. And so people can come along and enjoy the happy hour on site and get themselves into the mood.
Fantastic. And quickly, I know you were telling us some exciting news. You've been sponsored by Birmingham Airport this year as well, which is a big thing.
Yeah, we've had some great sponsors and support this year, and we're quite reliant on it because it's not a profit-making event. So it's great to get the local businesses support. Birmingham Airport are celebrating their 80th anniversary year, so they've come along and they're supporting us as our headline sponsor this year. Make sure you do check out their marquee when you come in. They've got a photo booth in there that people can have a picture at. They've got a competition where everyone gets to have a go. You'll get a little, probably going to be a card on your way in, which will allow you to take part in there. And there's lots of prizes to give away, beach balls, all sorts of things that they've got going on. So they're great. And they've been a really supportive partner. So I'm excited about those. We've recently took on Bear Grylls.
Is he going to be there?
No.
I've always quite fancied Bear Grylls.
That would be quite good. But what we've done there, and I think this is a really good offer, so everyone gets their fabric wristband, and that wristband will allow you a free go on the assault course at their site at the NEC. So all you need to do is, there's a few terms and conditions. Basically, rather than everyone just arriving and they don't know when you're going to arrive, you have to pre-book. But basically, yeah, your Summerfest band gets you a free go on the assault course. And then you can see if you can beat Bear Grylls'
time.
Will
he be at the assault course? I just want to meet Bear Grylls, don't I?
Maybe.
Exactly.
Brilliant stuff. Now, what else? What else can we talk about? You're relaxed. The weather, long range weather forecast.
It's been looking really good. In fact, it is really good. So, and I think normally from about 2 weeks out, you can normally know how it's going to be. So, we tend to follow BBC and a company called AccuWeather. Tend to be the two most accurate ones, and they've had it as being sunshine and dry for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Brilliant.
All the way through. So,
is the fun fair going to be there as well?
Yeah, so we've got the fun fair there. In terms of some of the bars as well, so we've got all the main bars. We've got some extra bars in this year. One right by the stage as well. So if people worried about losing their spot or don't want to walk too far,
good idea.
We've made it a lot more accessible.
You've thought of everything.
I'll tell you, you've had some meetings this year, haven't you?
There's been some big boardroom meetings this year. We've got the PIMS bus for the first year.
Brilliant.
So that's going to be good. And we've got Bottega to bring in one of the Airstreams. Have you seen those?
Yeah, the Airstream caravan style.
The old classic ones.
Aluminium.
Yeah, Breaking Bad style.
Yeah, I know it.
So they're bringing their Airstream across. So there's a garden area for that. The fun fair are there. So, lots of great things. We've got TC Cars providing the taxis afterwards as people leave. So there'll be an on-site taxi rank there as well.
TC Cars is brilliant, isn't he? Have you worked with John?
I met him over the park yesterday. He's a million miles an hour. Great.
Yeah, great fella.
I can't wait. It's going to be so exciting. And you've thought of everything. It's going to be amazing weather, amazing bands, and everyone from Solihull needs to go, don't they?
Good luck, Ian.
We need to see you all there.
Yeah, we'd love to see you there.
Come down and see us. Make friends with Ian and the team, and come and see Claire. And you can always come and see us here at Solihull Radio. I'm going to finish this wonderful podcast, this What's On podcast for Solihull Summerfest 2019, with one of the most amazing tracks that we are going to be able to hear. We'll see you all soon. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye.
I said a hip hop, the hip me to the hip hip hop, you don't stop the rocker to the bang bang boogie. Say up jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat. And me, the groove, and my friends are gonna try to move your feet.